I want to preach this morning a sermon I've called Watch and Pray. And if you turn to the Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to read from verse 36 through to chapter 25 and verse 13. So a little bit of scripture here. It says there from verse 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight the cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" We are living in perilous times. And in fact, certainly in my short lifetime on this earth, I've never known a time so perilous. The very fabric of our society, the moral and religious foundations in our nation's laws and the norms that it was built on have been constantly eroded and rejected. And I could give you a big doom and gloom list this morning of all of the moral decay that's going on out there, but I'm sure you're already fully aware of the sort of stuff that is going on. But when we see the church in our land falling away from the faith, as Jesus forewarned us about the great falling away, didn't he, from the true faith, with acceptance of heresy and false teachings and loose morals, the church is becoming apostate. And then beyond that, we see the wars and the rumours of wars. We see the wind and the waves are roaring. We see the pestilences and the plagues. We are at the end of the ages. Our Lord's return is imminent. And if we're going to be those that are counted worthy to escape all these things, then we need to be a people that are watching and praying. The foolish virgins is a warning to believers. These were virgins, they were believers. They all had lamps. They all went out to meet the bridegroom, but only the wise virgins who had bought enough oil were those that entered the wedding. They all trimmed their lamps. But you know, a lamp is of no use, is it, if it's got no oil? Because it's the oil that provides the light and the fuel for the light. And if there's a lamp that hasn't got any oil, it's not going to produce any light. It's of no use. And the conclusion and the warning that Jesus used for this story of the 10 virgins is to watch, therefore. And we need to be watching and praying, or we will run out of oil and won't be producing light. And the Bible stresses the point again and again throughout Scripture about watching, about being sober, about watching unto prayer. It warns us that the danger of not being watchful is that even the return of the Lord could overtake us and come when we don't expect. And we could end up losing out on our very salvation. Like the foolish virgins, we could end up shut outside of the marriage supper of the Lamb, God forbid. So it's very serious, isn't it, this? If we care at all this morning about our own souls, then we need to be a people who are watchful, who are always on our guard, and even more so in these perilous days in which we live. And as we see all things drawing to a close, we know that the return of the Lord is imminent. We don't know the day or the hour, but Jesus said he's going to come like a thief in the night. So we need to be always on our guard. We need to be found awake and watching for our Lord's return. The greatest danger that we face, I think, as believers in this life is that battle that goes on with ourselves. We're all made of weak flesh. Our hearts are fickle. And if we aren't daily abiding in that life of Christ, that oil of the Holy Spirit in our life daily, we can very quickly return to our old carnal ways, to our fleshly responses, and slide back into old habits and mindsets, old cares, the old self. And when we're faced with temptation, which does come, if we're not watchful, we can fall, we can fail, we can stumble, because we're walking in our own strength, in our own fleshly weaknesses, and not walking in the power and strength of the Lord. Luke 21:34-36 says, well, verse 34 says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. And verse 36 says, watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Matthew 26 as well, verse 39-41, says, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. We can't stand in our own strength. We need the armour of God. We need the weapons of our warfare. We need to be those that are abiding in the spirit, not in the flesh. We need to be watching unto prayer and always having our mind set upon things above, not on things below. The danger to us when we choose not to watch is quite perilous. We're putting our very souls at risk, because we're not holding fast to those things that we've been given in Christ. We're not guarding that pearl of great price, that precious salvation that we've been given. We can't be complacent in our Christian lives, because we have an enemy who actively pursues us. We're in a world that is perilous, corrupted and fallen. We face dangers without and within. We wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. We're in a spiritual warfare with the world, the flesh and the devil. And we face this on a daily basis. And the most important priority in our Christian life has to be our relationship with God, doesn't it? Jesus is our salvation. Without him, we cannot be saved this morning. We need him each moment of every day. We can't fight this battle on our own without him. And the failure in human nature is that we think somehow that we can manage without God on a daily basis. You know, as we grew up in this life, we learned how to survive, didn't we? We learned how to get by, how to deflect the blows that life threw at us. We learned how to build the walls of protection around ourselves to keep us and protect us from being hurt. And we learned this from the nursery upwards in the school playground with our mates and our work colleagues. We learned how to cope. But deep down inside, we're still insecure. We're still unsure of ourselves, still weak, and we need the love of God in our lives. We don't have to live behind those walls anymore as Christians, because you and I, we're accepted in Christ. We don't have to prove anything this morning. We don't have to merely survive and get by. In Christ, we can have life. We can live the abundant life. We can know the love and acceptance of God. We can have true security. But too often we can revert to our old ways, our old securities, and grow complacent. And that's the worst thing in our Christian life. We can get caught up in the worries and the cares and the burdens of this life and go back to that same survival mentality that got us through in our own strength, but not relying on God for our daily needs and our daily bread. But if we go back, what is there to go back to other than emptiness, misery, meaningless existence, survival, getting by? I don't know about you, but I don't want to just get by in life. I want to live the life of Christ. And the only place that we'll find that is in him, isn't it? He is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. The enemy wants us to go back to our old life, to our old mindsets, to our old sins, to our old way of living. The only way we can avoid that tragedy is by keeping watch over our souls, by guarding that precious salvation that we've been given. So how do we watch? What does it mean for us to be watchful? The main thing in being watchful and taking care and looking out for our souls is keeping our relationship with God. When a shepherd watches his flock, he's looking out for it, isn't he? He's looking out for dangers, for wolves, for anything that could harm the flock. He cares for the flock. He feeds it. He gives the flock water. He leads and guides them through the perils they face. We need to take care of our souls in the same way. We need to make sure our soul is fed and watered with the word of God and prayer. We need to always be on our guard against anything that can bring harm to our soul. Just like the watchman on the city walls and the gates looking out for attackers and intruders and guarding the city gates, we need to guard the gateway to our hearts from all things that could be a danger to us. Sin, compromise, heresy, false teaching. We need to always be considering our spiritual state before the Lord. The Bible says, does it not, to examine ourselves to see that we're in the faith. We need to daily allow God to penetrate our heart, stubborn hearts, to let him show us his will and show us where we need to change, to let him search our hearts daily so that his light can penetrate every nook and cranny of our lives. If we're going to be watchful, one thing we're going to need to be is open-hearted to God, a willing heart before God. And for that, we need to be in prayer daily with God. A lot of the scriptures that speak about watchfulness link it with prayer. How can God direct us if we don't pray? Prayer is our communication line to God, but it has to be combined with an open heart if we're going to hear what God is saying to us. Jesus said, let him that has ears, let him hear. If we're to be the one who is watching as the Bible means, then we have to be a people that are praying. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Him who asks receives. If we're praying in line with the will of God, then we will receive from God, whether that be revelation or guidance or wisdom or knowledge or forgiveness or healing or mercy or just simply our daily needs. Prayer is vital in our walk with God. Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. It's an important part of keeping right with God. Daily repentance, keeping our hearts clean before God. In the book of Revelations in chapter 16, it tells us, blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. What garments is it talking about? It's the garments of righteousness. You can only keep those clean if you bring all of your sins under the blood of Jesus. Only the blood can wash our garments, can't it, from all defilement and sin. And we can only find cleansing as we confess and repent before God. You know, repentance is not just a one-off event that we do as when we first get saved. Unless, of course, you've never sinned since you got saved this morning and you're already perfect. But the Bible tells us if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar, doesn't it? And the truth is not in us. But in order to keep our hearts right before God, we need to daily bring all of our failings and sins to God. If we confess our sins, it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm not talking here about the Catholic confession mentality where you need to keep taking Mass every day in order to be saved. We are justified once and for all through the blood of Christ. We're covered by the blood as believers, but if we continue in our lives in unconfessed sin and we're not walking in fellowship with God, then if we're not walking in the light, then we're walking in darkness. If we persist in sin, our garments become defiled, don't they? Our fellowship with God is broken. We need to remain in the light. We need to abide in Christ. And we do that by daily making part of our prayer, Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. Repentance is part of that daily spiritual walk, part of keeping our garments. And to do that, we need to be watchful, not careless or presumptuous, but to be diligent in prayer, to let God search our hearts, to show us if there be any wicked way in us. You know, many times we don't know our own hearts. We're easily deceived, especially by our own selves and the condition of our hearts. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin to us. Why? In order to lead us to repentance. The Bible teaches that God, the goodness of God, it leads us to repentance. In Psalm 32, here's a prayer of David, who was a godly man and an example of all who desire to be godly, of how they should be before God. And it's a great reminder to us of God's great mercy to us and his willingness to forgive sins. Psalm 32 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old, through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near to you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, you all you upright in heart. I like that in verse 6. It says, for this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. If we're godly, then we'll pray to the Lord in a time when he may be found. We'll acknowledge our sin. He said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Daniel, book of Daniel 9, verse 20 says, now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Here's Daniel praying to the Lord, confessing his sin and the sins of his people. We need to keep a short list with God, don't we? It's when we don't pray and when we begin to try and hide from God, just like Adam did in the garden, when we begin to harden our hearts to God, that the heart begins to grow cold. Isn't that what Scripture warns us about? The love of many will wax cold. If we want our hearts to remain soft and tender before the Lord, open and transparent, then we can't cover up our sins. We can't hide from God. God knows anyway. But we need to allow him to come in and break up that fallow ground in our heart. And that's what happens to land, isn't it? If it's not regularly ploughed, it becomes hard and fallow. It becomes unproductive. It becomes barren. It becomes infested with weeds and thorns. We need the fallow ground in our hearts to be broken up, ploughed by the Spirit of God and sown with the Word of God so that we can begin to produce good fruit and have hearts that are clean and right before God. We face many dangers: hypocrisy, pride, unbelief, lust, greed, fear, lies and deceit, hatred, bitterness, apathy, just to name but a few. The only way we can keep our hearts clear and clean of these things is through daily meditation on the Word of God and daily prayer and repentance before God. You know, God knows what we're like anyway. It doesn't surprise God. God knows what is in man's heart. But the act of confessing and repentance and acknowledging our sins before God brings both healing and forgiveness, and it renews our fellowship with God. And when our hearts are clear, then we can begin to pray in faith for all that God lays on our hearts. We can begin to tell others about God and proclaim his salvation with a boldness and confidence. But if we're walking in defeat and guilt and in our own strength and in our own mentality, how can we be effective warriors for God? How can we help others and intercede for others if we can't even watch for ourselves? And remember too, we have an active enemy. He walks around, it says, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, we're easy prey for him if we're not watching, or we're careless with our salvation. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because apathy makes us drunk with the wine of complacency. And spiritual drunkenness leads to death and decay in our Christian lives. We need to watch and pray. We're living in perilous times, and if we're not watching, if we're not keeping our garments, if we're carousing in the daytime, as it puts it, if we're weighed down with the cares and worries of this life and and drunkenness, then we're in danger of that day overtaking us as a thief. Not being ready when our master returns. And we can't complain this morning that we haven't had enough warnings. The wise virgins kept their lamps trimmed and burning, and they were filled with oil. Let's not be those who fall into a spiritual slumber, as it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. If we continue in the things that we've learnt and received, praying daily, keeping our hearts clean, feeding on God's word, continuing in that fellowship with the Lord, being open to his voice, being willing to obey, then we won't be found like those that are sleeping, but we'll be ready when he returns and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges each according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If we want to be watchful, and as Peter tells us, spend our time on earth that remains in the fear of God, turning from all unrighteousness, pursuing godliness and holiness in all our conduct, then we will never stumble, and we'll be those that will be found faithful. Amen. Finally, a couple of scriptures here. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. Revelation 3:2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. See, the message is just repeated throughout, isn't it? And you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And Revelation 16:15, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We need to be watchful, church, this morning, and keep our eyes on the Lord daily, and keep our oil topped up daily, because we're leaky vessels, aren't we, this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we just pray, Lord God, that we would be diligent before you, that we would be those that would watch and pray daily, Lord, that we'd recognise the seriousness of the situation out there, Lord, and know that we need your grace and mercy daily to sustain us. Keep us, we pray. Help us to keep our eyes upon you and grant your grace and mercy to be supplied abundantly to us daily, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.